But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember your handmaid. That's exactly what the thief on the cross said. When you come into your kingdom, Lord, remember me. Hey, she said, that's almost word for word what she just said. The thought is exactly there. So this is, it's a sneak preview of things in the New Testament. I want to talk to you about the wisdom of Abigail and what she just said. I want you to notice that the way she turned David was she reminded him, she made reference of his future glory. And in doing that, it drew David's heart away from the present. She reminded him of God's promises for the future. The glory that shall be his. And that calmed David about the present. And beloved, that's why we need to study prophecy. That's why we do study prophecy. That's why churches that don't study prophecy, they're full of people that are carnal. You and I need to constantly be reminded of what God has promised us. Yes, yes, beloved, there's pie in the sky. And nothing you're going to have right now. See, that's the point. See, if you can have it all now, why pray for the kingdom to come? Many of the promises that people are trying to claim in the Bible are promises for the kingdom. And you just can't have it yet. You can have it, but not now. That's the wisdom of God. And that's what I need to do with you tonight, and that's what you need to do with me from time to time too. The greatest encouragement to not give up, to not get discouraged, to not give in to sin, is to remember what David forgot. See, David in the story had forgotten who he was. David had forgotten his calling. And he failed. But praise God, God didn't let him fail completely. God headed David off. See, David sinned in that he committed murder in his heart. Remember Matthew 5? If you have hatred in your heart, that's the seed of murder. But even though that was sin and that was bad, praise God, God stopped him from actually committing it. Praise God, many of us have had impure thoughts about lust. And God stopped us, brought us to our senses before we actually made it worse. We sinned. But at least we didn't go that far into sin. So, see, that's what the Spirit of God is all about in our lives, is heading us off at the pass. Actually, Abigail in this story is a type of the Spirit of God. As she heads the Christian off, touching his conscience and bringing to his remembrance what his destiny is because of God. Hallelujah. And look at verse 32. And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel." Hey, he's praising God. He's ready to kill somebody, but ready to commit murder. And now he's praising God, "Who sent you this day to meet me?" See, David knows who's in control of the universe. He knows. He knows they didn't just meet in the wilderness by chance. Hallelujah. "And blessed be your advice." Listen to me. She is his inferior. He is not only a male in Israel, he is the anointed. He has been corrected in front of 400 men. I'll tell you, David is a man of men. He is a man after God's own heart. Yes, he was ready to commit murder, but good grief, girls, how many of you have been married to a man that could be corrected in front of 400 men? And say, "Blessed be God, and blessed be you for that advice." Hallelujah, what blessed advice. Whew. See, this is see, God has humbled David by showing him he was dependent on himself, too self-sufficient. By showing him he needed to, moment by moment, depend on God for his power, his wisdom, his leadership. Beloved, as I read this story, it humbles me. It humbles us all. It humbles all of us as we see David's failure in this, because we all know it could have been us. And it has been us, just in different circumstances. Wanted to avenge ourselves. And then he says this, "Blessed be your advice, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand." This is the secret of David's greatness. Listen to me, beloveds. David, see, humility, Bible humility, isn't mealy mouth. Oh, shucks, I don't deserve it. Oh, Brother Floyd, that was the greatest message I ever heard. Oh, really? It was even, was it better than Brother John Bassanio preached Sunday? Was it? Come on, tell me. No, no. You know. Listen to me. See, when God reminds us of what our future glory is, all of a sudden, being denied a few sheep for a feast, here and now, it's no big deal, is it? All of a sudden, the fact that someone calls us, quote, a runaway slave or a Jesus fanatic or a few other choice tidbits that they can call us, it ain't so bad. It really isn't so bad. All of a sudden, to be kind to someone and receive ingratitude from them, I'm going to be prince of the universe. I have been anointed by God to be prince of the universe. That's not a bad title. It's not a bad position. So I want you to see how she encouraged David with God's word. Proverbs 25:12, you remember? That's what just happened. Moreover, listen, I really wish I could really teach this to you. There's at least 10 or 15 proverbs that you could just, if I had on the board all through this, you could just be pulling them off because we've been watching Proverbs come. Proverbs 25:12. As an earring of gold is on the ear, a precious ornament on the ear, so is the counselor is that beautiful on your ear if your ear will hear what they're saying. That's the idea in that tremendous proverb. And then look what David finishes up saying. For verse 34, in very deed, as the Lord of Israel lives, who has kept me from hurting you, except you had hastened and come to meet me, surely there had not been left under Nabal by morning light any male. Now, he didn't mean he was going to physically harm her. She was going to be, see, he already told us what he meant. She would have been hurt in that her husband and all these men would have been slain. And you know, after all, most of these men are from Judah. Even though they work for them, they are, you know, relatives, distant relatives of some sort. And so David says, that's what I intended to do. So David received of her hand, verse 35, that which she had brought him, and said to her, go in peace to your house and see that I have hearkened to your voice and accepted your person. Now there's something very important we've got to say there. Look back at verse 22. At verse 22, David made an oath. An oath. That he was going to kill everybody. And it was an oath. And so we now see what real men of God do when they make stupid, foolish oaths that are not in the will of God. Even though they made this oath, he made this oath in the name of the Lord back in verse 22. He called on the Lord to bear witness to the oath. But when he came to his senses, he realized this was an ungodly oath and an ungodly thing to be doing. And what I'm telling you Christians is listen and learn. Oaths must never bind us to do evil, even if they're made in the name of the Lord. If you make an oath that's evil, when you come to your senses, you repent, like David did. Hallelujah. I want you to see in this thing, too, that's so beautiful. When Abigail confronted David, I think I just got to say this. Did you notice? Never once did David try to defend himself. Never once. Oh, it was a cold night in December, and, you know, I was kind of lonely, and it was the call of the wilds, you know, I don't know. Never once. Well, I'm king. He can't talk like that to me. And I'll tell you something worse that would have made David madder even. Listen to me. You can say something to me and get by with it and me forgive you a lot quicker than if you said it to my wife or my daughter. Isn't that right? Isn't it much harder? Someone insults your mother. See, if I insulted you and then I said, hey, I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. That would be easy for him to do. But if I said something insulting about his mother and then said, oh, I'm sorry, he's got a real test now. What I'm trying to tell you is, when you put someone in authority under you and someone abuses them, it makes you madder than when they get you. And that's how God feels when they abuse you. Did you hear that? Bob, God appointed you and anointed you to tell people the gospel and to live it in front of them. And when they mistreat you for it, it makes him madder than if they had said it to him direct. That's one of the things that just really ticked old David off, that this guy dared say it to these 10 young men that he had sent. Verse 36, and Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast. Thanks to Abigail, he's sitting there having a feast. If it hadn't been for Abigail, this cat's going to be, he would be strung up right now. He's getting drunk and eating and throwing a blast and doesn't want to share his wealth and the blessings of God with anybody. He's like the fool in the New Testament that says, I'll build bigger barns. I've had a bumper crop. I'm not going to share with anybody. I'll build bigger barns. You're going to hoard. God said, you fool, tonight I take your life. Now who's going to eat your food and spend it? Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. It's like the feast of a king, but nothing to give the anointed king. Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Wherefore, she told him nothing less, more or less, till morning light. Oh, girls, listen, read, and learn. Some of you have gotten beaten half to death in your life trying to talk to a drunk. And some of you have gotten beaten half to death. Now, don't let that happen anymore, all right? There's no excuse from now on. Came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal. I'm not so sure she hadn't learned it by experience either. She might have tried it in the past. I don't know. I'm just surmising. She might have gotten beaten half to death. And after a while said, you know. I mean, come on now. We're not just born with this kind of wisdom, you know. You say, well, you can learn some from God's Word. That's right. But we also learn from God's Word and putting God's Word to practice in our experience. It came to pass in the morning when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died in him. Now look, what a wise woman. All she told him, look, the way it says it is, she just told him exactly what happened. All she did, Vicki, was report. She didn't nag him. Big, dumb, blabbermouth. You know, big mouth, you loaded it up this time. Well, let me tell you what was about to happen. I mean, I had to pack off through the woods. I mean, I had to go at 400 soldiers. I mean, they could have raped me. I don't know. But I saved your neck this time. Girls, get some wisdom. She didn't tell David off. She didn't tell David how much she was doing for him. She said, the Lord did it. Back there in verse 26. This girl has real wisdom. Wants God to get all the glory. And she just reports. See, she's a good wife. She tells the husband. Now, let me tell you why she didn't tell him before she went. Remember back there when it says she left? Oh, where is that? Up in verse 19, the last part of verse 19. See, she didn't tell Nabal for one simple reason. Had she told Nabal she was going to go to David, Nabal would have forbidden her to go. See, now she can go for the purpose of saving lives, especially his, without going against a direct commandment from her husband. She's used wisdom in it. She knew he would forbid her. And her determination, and now hear this, is never in this story. There's not one hint that she's out to make Nabal look like a fool. She's not out to show him up. She's not out to go against her husband. Okay? She's trying to be submissive to the higher authority, David and God, to save her husband's life and all these innocent men, and to save David from sinning. Her motives are absolutely pure. Though admittedly, on the surface, this could look like a wife that's not being submissive and faithful to her husband. So the point is, we're trying to learn what real submission is. Sometimes, girls, it may not look like it. See, submission is a matter of the heart. Not so much what you do, Christy, but what's in your heart. So see, this story has confused a lot of people, you know, that see it like she's being an unfaithful wife almost by going out. No. And let's see, God bless her for it. It says, when she told Nabal these things, his heart died within him and he became as a stone. You know why? Hey, he's like all pagans. I know, I used to be one. See, unsaved men always judge others by themselves. Nabal, suddenly when she tells him that 400 armed warriors including the man that killed Goliath, was just about a mile or so away. A mile or so away when his wife turned him. Oh no. See, Nabal isn't going to forgive anybody. And since he doesn't forgive people, he figures David isn't either. And he figures it's only a matter of time till he's going to look out on that horizon and 400 armed warriors are coming to kill him. And he's not but a farmer. He figured, hey, petrified with fear. Because he doesn't trust David's heart. And David is a type of God in the story. See, there's all kind of people that God forgives, but they won't believe God forgives, and they go around continually in fear of God because they just won't believe that God isn't coming up over the hill tomorrow morning to wipe them out, when God's already said, oh, okay, go home in peace. All's okay. That's what David told her. Everything's okay. Nabal craters. Fear grabs him and becomes like a stone. Now, I want you to see the heart of God. Look at the goodness of God. Verse 38, it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. Of course, Nabal realizes he's also had it from another standpoint. Because, see, now his wife has fed David and his warriors. And Saul is in the area looking for him, and he knows that if Saul finds that out, he's dead. So now Nabal finds himself caught in the middle between David and Saul, and he knows he has no hope. He's a dead man, and he petrifies out. Fear grabs him and becomes like a stone. Now I want you to see the heart of God. Look at the goodness of God. Verse 38, it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. Why not the day she told him? Do you see the heart of God? Do you see the patience of God in this foolish, foolish, wicked, wicked man? Oh, repent, Nabal. Judgment is coming. Absolutely. The king is coming down the road. Judgment is coming. In this story, therefore, beloveds, understand that the seriousness of rejecting God's anointed is being shown for us. Though Nabal was rich, it didn't help him a bit. There was a time when he had to meet the anointed of God. And by rejecting the anointed of God, we see that judgment did fall on him. But look at the heart of God. Patient and slow to bring it. God gave him 10 days to think it over. And I want you to know that if Nabal would have repented on the 11th day, God would have let him live 11 days. If Nabal would have repented after 100 days, God would have let him live 100 days. If it would have taken Nabal 10 years to repent, what I'm trying to tell you is this. The heart of God is such that nobody dies lost that is savable. If they would finally repent, God would let them live to do it. Amen. You need to understand that when God takes somebody out, it's because they will never change. No matter what you do. Verse 39, and when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, blessed be the Lord who has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and kept his servant from evil. For as the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. Now stop. Some of you, listen. David is not jumping up and down with glee that Nabal has died. He is not rejoicing over the death of Nabal. And moreover, Proverbs 24:17 teaches that we're not to rejoice over the calamity of the wicked. Moreover, what David is rejoicing in is two things. Number one, he says that God restrained me from doing evil. And number two, David is rejoicing and worshiping in this verse that God really is a God of justice. He is adoring God and praising God for justice because David knows the man has committed a sin worthy of death. For the Scripture says, you shall not curse the king, nor God. And David sent and talked with Abigail. Now, wait. Have you got it? He's dead. Now, what have we got? We got us a rich, good-looking widow that loves Jesus and has got the wisdom of God. Whew. David sent and talked with Abigail to take her to marriage. In other words, what David saw in her in that small confrontation was, now there's a woman I'd like to have for a wife. But he couldn't. Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, she was by law married to another, and if she came and married David, even though he was king, she would be an adulteress. So the only thing we can do is set her free from the law by getting rid of Nabal. Moreover, in this story, Abigail represents the bride of the anointed king-to-be. And in this story, the only way she could be married to him is first, her wicked husband, her master, had to die so as to set her free so that she could marry the anointed king-to-be. And that's exactly what happened to every one of us. We had to die to sin and to the law and to unrighteousness so that we could be wed to the anointed king-to-be. Hallelujah. And then, finishing real quickly, and when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, hey, watch this. Remember when David did this before? When our story started, David sent 10 young men to Carmel. He does it again. Look at the difference between Abigail and between Nabal. They spoke unto her, saying, David sent us unto you to take you to him in marriage. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, behold, let your handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. Do you know what that girl just said? Did you read that? She just said, in effect, you guys must be tired from the trip. Here, have a seat. I'll wash your feet. I'll wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. This is a rich widow who washes these soldiers' feet. That's what she just did. Far out. Oh, I know why this guy wants to marry her. Verse 42, and Abigail hastened and arose and rode on an ass with 5 damsels of hers who went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. Listen, what faith. Do you see what she's done? She has left all her wealth to go with someone who has nothing, who is not well thought of. Though he's the anointed king to be, David is living in caves. She has left all her worldly goods, counting them as nothing, to go follow her master. But she did it in faith because she's already told us, someday you'll be king because God said so. She knows that though she's left all her worldly possessions for a short time, she's going to be queen because David's going to be king and he's asked her to marry him. And beloveds, that's exactly what God's done to you and me. Don't put your heart and affections on the things of this world. They won't hold you. Just come to me. Just come to me. You may lose something for a little while, but someday you're going to reign and rule with me. And kings have brides that are queens that reign and rule. Finale. And she became his wife. Hallelujah. And so, beloved, I want to call your attention to 2 things as we close in very quickly. Number one, in this whole chapter, not one miracle. No miracle, yet God had his way in everyone's life. Yes, praise God if God... Listen, what I'm trying to tell you is don't try to tell God how to do everything. Read all the Bible, not just a few chapters. Sometimes God answers miraculously. Praise God for the miraculous. Don't be afraid of the miraculous. But don't get your heart tied to where, God, if you don't answer me supernaturally, I'll not accept anything else. God deals with people both supernaturally and just with people in our lives. Quit looking at people as enemies and begin to see them as instruments in God's hand in hammering out our character and in shaping it and molding it into the image of Christ. And lastly, in this story, are any of you in here Nabal? You've rejected the anointed of God. I want to call to your attention. It's my duty as a man of God to tell you. There's a day that you'll have to account for it. Just like in this story. And God didn't want you to. That's why he brought you here tonight. To hear this story. To see how much God cares about people. And to hear him call you to be like Abigail. To be wise and not to be foolish and reject the anointed of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Would you stand? Husbands, love your wife. David loved this girl. He heeded her advice and counsel from God, even though he had to eat a little crow in front of 400 men. That's a real man. David could have sat there and said, my gosh, if I back down now, these men may not follow me. They'll say some leader we've got. Even a woman can correct him. No, they admired him even more. Because he had sense enough to take good advice from anybody, even someone in a position that's of inferior rank. Some of you bosses in here, you better listen to some of those employees that are doing the job. They may know how to make money. They may know how to improve the assembly line for you. You husbands, have you got enough wisdom to listen to your wife, who is the greatest counselor God will ever give you? Amen. So you may be the head of the family, but that's where the counsel is coming from. God will use your wife because she's a help meet for you. Hallelujah. And wives, submit to your own husband as unto the Lord. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave his life for it. You don't need any marriage counseling. That's all you need. Husbands, you try to outlove your wife, and wife, you commit in the Lord to out-submit. You can make a man love you if you're submissive. And husbands, you can love them into submission. I'm going to dismiss you with a word of prayer. God bless you guys. Go back and read the story and meditate on it and see if God won't teach you a lot of things I didn't have the wisdom enough to find. In Jesus' name, Father, we come before you and thank you for giving us such a wonderful story to instruct us and to change our minds so that we no longer have opinions about what you're like, but we really get to see what you're like from your own word and from your own stories. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, take this, and for those in here that are lost, that they will have heard something that will make them respond to you out of love, where they'll give you their heart. And for those of us that are saved, oh, Father, that we'll never again trust in our own self and be caught in the trap of pride, but we'll see that what we really need, even though we're Texans, is to depend on you constantly at all times. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you guys. God bless you all.